Welcome back to another special edition of the Esquire Q&A podcast. I'm Matthew Priest, and today we have a very special episode where we talk to the current, reigning, and also newly crowned Formula One world champion, Max Verstappen. The Red Bull Racing driver has run away with the driver's title this year, securing his third world championship in a row by winning an astonishing 18 races. We caught up with him ahead of this year's season-ending Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. We talk about racing, we talk about life, and we find out who was the most influential teammate he's ever had. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen, Max Verstappen.
First up, triple world champion. How does this one compare to the other two?
I think the first one is always the more emotional one, but I do think that this one has been definitely the best in terms of performance overall. I think the other ones, of course, they were very nice, but definitely looking back at this season has been unbelievable with the amount of wins that we've achieved, and as a team as well, like just operationally, I think again we became better, and definitely I think this one was the most satisfying one.
Sure. Yeah. I remember you saying before that there's an element of people talking about all season, they're talking about records and records and records. I remember you saying records don't motivate. You're not here to break records. So what is the motivation then going to next year? What is if records don't motivate you?
Just the winning side of it. So the records side, if you have a good car, you can of course achieve these kind of things. But for me, the motivation comes out of the driving part and always trying to get the best out of myself, every single weekend. That's what motivates me. And, I really always try to be as close to perfection as possible. But of course, I know that it's impossible to be perfect. No one is. But just try to be as close as I can.
Have you always had that kind of competitive, streak?
I think so, yeah.
Sure.
That's how I started them.
So if you're watching The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary and stuff, and you see that he has to win kind of all the time in everything, associate with that? Do you kind of understand that mentality?
Yeah. Or? I can relate, but then again, it's a little bit different because he then has to motivate his team in general, the players around him to try and achieve the same. Mm. Where I feel like, of course it's a team sport, but I'm the only one controlling the car. Mm. He's in the game, he's relying on other people around him also to win the game, right?
Sure.
So that I think that's a different kind of mentality you have to play with, because there are more people involved, to make it a win.
Sure.
Where I feel like I'm the one controlling the car, and of course at the time when I'm driving on the track, no one can then influence really what is in my mind, and it's a bit different. Where of course the car performance, that is a team effort.
Mm.
But I only need to speak to myself to motivate me to win the race.
Sure. It's not a case of I've got to be first at the paddock, I've got to be first. Just
for me it's a little bit different.
Sure.
With that, yeah.
Fine. There's a lot of these kind of interviews with people like me about this element of, how do we get to know the man behind the mask and the man behind the helmet and things like that. How does you come to grips with that as a professional and as a person? Where everyone wants to be you're on the billboards. You're a globally renowned superstar, so people are just like, but everyone wants to know about it, who you are personally. How do you kind of come to terms with that professionally and personally?
Because I, at the end of the day, I'm the same person. It doesn't really change a lot. And I say what I want to say, and if I don't want to say something, I don't say it.
Sure.
I just approach it very simple.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's like an embracing of it, basically.
Yeah, but also I don't really think about it too much, about the let's say the superstar or being on the billboards.
Sure.
For me, that's nothing that I'm really interested in anyway.
Sure. Just being on the top step of that podium.
Well, that's what I work for. That's why I wanted to be in F1, So that's, for me, the most important.
Sure. In terms of the variety of teammates that you had kind of over the things, we don't talk about primary drivers and secondary drivers anymore, but in terms of previous teammates that you've had across your career, kind of who are some of the ones that you feel like you've learned significant things from, both in the good and the bad way?
Well, I think when I just joined Red Bull, because I was also still very young, so naturally when you have the more experienced teammate next to you, initially when you start in the team, you lean a bit more on his feedback, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then over time, of course, you learn a lot yourself with the car, what you need, what you want. And then I felt like at one point, it's not about looking to your teammate or trying to learn off him. It's more about just learning from myself and learning within my group of people, you know, who can make a difference on the car. But I definitely think initially I learned the most from Daniel when we were teammates.
Was there like a penny drop moment? You know, like you're like, okay, I'm getting in and learning it. And then was there a kind of a moment, a period where you were like, actually, no, I've got this, and like that yeah. almost that maturity flips in.
Well, I think throughout that 2016 season, when I joined through the season, not at the start of the season. So initially, I definitely had to rely more on his feeling with the car and just set up options there where I was still a bit quite limited with that because of not knowing the car.
Sure.
And then throughout that season, towards the end, I think you start to make up more of your own mind, your own way of working, and so to basically later on that 16 season.
Sure. So you have the kind of long-standing relationship with TAG, obviously, and Red Bull, but you know, I noticed that you're wearing the TAG moniker. And I know that you quite liked the TAG moniker as a I wouldn't say it was your preferred tag, but I certainly see you wearing it a lot. Why that specific watch?
Well, I mean, I get this one always gifted in Monaco, mm-hmm. but I like the shape of it, mm-hmm. and I do think you can wear it in a lot of different scenarios. So even when it's sporty, chic, and I think it definitely, you know, people always recognize the watch. It's like, oh, it's the Monaco, you know.
Sure,
it's not like just a normal round watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's just
it's a
nice
statement, right?
Sorry,
it's a statement.
Yeah, I definitely think so. It definitely has a bit of history around it. So.
Sure, 100%. Well, that's it. They always say it kind of, it's meant to tell a little bit about the character of you, right?
Yeah.
So I have a off the basis of this car, you know, talking watches here, I've got a bit of a time travel question to you. So, like, if you could pick a time in your life to travel back to, where were we going? Where would you take us to? It can be last week. It can be back to childhood. Just a kind of a period that that was worth kind of revisiting, or maybe something you want to correct.
Maybe when I was around like 12,
mm-hmm.
so you don't need to worry about anything in life, and you're just playing around with your friends and having a good time.
Sure, yeah. Just the lack of pressures and the joys of childhood.
Well, you're not known really. You just do your own thing, you just go to school and then you do your racing and just hang out with your friends.
Sure, but I mean, back when you were 12, I assume, you know, Dad was on the telly racing, right?
Yeah, no, but for me, it was still a lot less, of course.
Fine, fair enough. So, as I mentioned, we're going to want to play on this trying to travel idea. So now between, so last race of the season, Abu Dhabi, good weather and all that fun.
Yeah.
Where do you go? Where are you taking breaks from before it starts in next year?
Well, I still need to travel to Japan for Honda.
Okay.
And after that, back to Europe. I have to do some commitments still with the team.
Sure.
And then hopefully at one point just take a bit of time for myself with family and friends and really try to switch off from everything.
Sure. And where do you like to go? Say in the winter, where are you going?
Honestly, it depends. It can be warm places, cold places.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you a snow sports kind of guy? Are you a skier? Or are you?
Well, normally I'm more of enjoying the warm weather, but I used to ski a lot also. So
sure.
I appreciate both ways.
Yeah. Are you an overpacker or are you an underpacker?
I think I'm a bit in the middle.
Sure.
Yeah, just enough. Like, just, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not going to go with that. Two bags, like, super crazy, no. But I'm also not, of course, going to be limited. So, yeah, just fine. Or maybe you go on a holiday, you have to wash, here and there a little bit.
What's the kind of most, is packing like an irritation because you're kind of constantly on the road and stuff? What's like, what's some of your kind of real, like, kind of annoyances about traveling?
Well, it's when you're traveling a lot throughout the year, you know, it's the unpacking and the packing, the repacking, and that I don't enjoy a lot, you know. In general, I don't enjoy living out of a suitcase.
Sure, fine. I mean, who does, right? Always where to put your passport.
Well, yeah, the only thing you really need, for me personally, phone, credit card and passport.
Sure. Yeah, you can conquer the world, quite literally.
Yeah.
What are your kind of essential travel items that you have to have, those ones, apart from those ones you just said, or those ones?
Yeah, chargers, adapters, you know, for the chargers, iPad, headphones, or like the AirPods.
If you're kind of switching off, you know, are you like beach and a book and like your phone on silent, or are you kind of like, do you switch off when you're kind of like jumping on a jet ski,
just a bit more fun stuff. No book fun. Reading. Fun. Absolutely not. But can be at the beach or fun. But then enjoy also food and just nice restaurants.
Sure. So it's that, but I mean, do you, you know, it's that, you know, a lot of people always think that, you know, probably assume, you know, you race cars for a living. The, you know, is that adrenaline kind of constantly there? You need that.
I don't have that. Mm. It's not like I stop racing and then I need to go and drive buggies and race here. Race. Sure. No, I don't have that.
Sure. It's very kind of like, you know, when you're on.
I know. Yeah, I have my F1 related stuff, but then after that, I can also easily just relax and not do anything.
Sure. I hear. You're kind of picking. I said, when you travel, obviously, you're very kind of, you know, a known personality and stuff. Is it a case of, do you enjoy the anonymity of traveling? Or do you, like, do you play into it? Do you have, like, you crave that privacy? Or are you just kind of...
No, I really like my privacy as much as I can. Yeah, sure. I wish I was not known at all.
Sure.
Ideally, sure. But that's not possible.
With one comes the other.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that's part of it, but of course, if I could choose, mm-hmm. I would prefer to walk around and with your friends and just,
sure.
They wouldn't recognize my face.
I bet they would like that too, huh?
My friends and family, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Abu Dhabi, you know, you've been racing here, many races here, many great memories here and stuff. What is that kind of take on Abu Dhabi, that this Grand Prix particular, that kind of, you know, what's that connection that you have when you come back and touch soil here?
I like, you know, the weather, the environment, it's safe, nice, like very nice people always there. I enjoy coming to Dubai, Abu Dhabi. It's quite peaceful.
Sure.
I like it.
Sure. It feels very kind of contained Grand Prix. I mean, I've been watching it.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you have the partying going around a little bit in the hotels, or like music.
Sure.
But I think it's always quite relaxing, and I enjoy being around you.
Fine. How much of that stuff is a distraction for a driver? Not in terms of, like, well, I don't know, like, you know, that with especially, you know, there's Monaco is traditionally that one, but then a lot of other races are now kind of perking up as being like they always want to have the events and the parties and that element there.
Yeah, but I mean, I can quite easily just focus on my job then go away to my hotel and not. Yeah, I can be in like quite a tunnel vision mode.
Yeah,
I think you learn that over time as well.
Fine, I guess it's part of the maturity of it, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Sure. Do you have what is the, like, so looking back at this season, third World Championship, what's the rating out of 10 that you give yourself?
Yeah, I never rate my seasons because I've always found it really difficult to put a number on it.
Okay.
But I mean, it's been an incredible season.
It's been pretty decent.
It's something that I never thought was possible.
Hmm.
So yeah, if you had to rate it, of course it was going to be a high number, but mm-hmm. like I would never ever give myself something like super close to a 10.
Sure.
10, never.
Sure.
But like even super, like there are always things that can be done better or looked at, and I'm always just trying to look for perfection and try to improve and try to work on that.
Sure. Does every race every year where you say you're racing in Abu Dhabi, you are, but like, does every, are you like, oh, it's Abu Dhabi again? Does every year have a different feel and vibe to it because of the competitors?
A little bit in terms of like your performance levels and stuff. Every year that I come to Abu Dhabi, there's like my feeling is always a little bit different, I guess, because of what has happened throughout the year. And yeah, I think that's also nice, because if you come to a Grand Prix every year in the same mood and just feeling is a bit boring, I think, so it's nice to have every time you come back. Or, you know, it also can be that there's something new going around, or, you know, it can be a lot of different things.
Sure. In terms of, again, there's a lot of, the big talk around here recently has always been the fact that there's, you know, now four Grand Prix based in the Middle East, you know, starts the season there, ends the season here. But you have, you know, you've got a great record of racing in the Middle East and stuff. Does that factor in, or is it more just like, you know, there's a track there, you come in on the weekends, regardless of where it is?
First of all, I think I always enjoy coming to the Middle East. When you feel well, I think that helps. But then, of course, a lot of it is also car performance. Luckily, you know, we come here and also the tracks itself, like, they're fun to drive. Mm-hmm. You know, they build great tracks, so all in all, when you feel happy, the car is good and the track is fun to drive. Mm-hmm. I guess that helps.
Ticks all the boxes. Yeah. My last question for you is kind of, when you are, you know, on a race weekend, when do you kind of go into that focus professional kind of killer mode?
So I prefer always, like, not to think about it too much, and then just when I, you know, get ready, get my suit on and jump in the car, then I'm fully on it. But it's important to also be able to switch off, you know, left and right, even throughout the weekend, to just get your mind on other things as well.
Sure. If it was only that easy.
Everyone's different as well in how they get to their top level.
Sure.
That's the beauty about the sport and the drivers. So.
Sure. I mean, well, it's going all right for you.
All right.
So there you go.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time, man.
No worries.
So if you enjoyed that, please remember to subscribe or follow us on social media or visit our website, esquiremme.com. I've been Matthew Baxter-Priest, and this has been the Esquire Q&A Podcast.